Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us here today. And, of course, at 2 o'clock, I've got Pastor Rusnacko coming on, and it'll be a blessing as well for you. But today, of course, we want to touch on a couple of things here out of the Word of God, and I'm going to be looking at something in Genesis chapter 11, talking about the Tower of Babel. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit here, but let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, do pray that you would bless, use the program today for your glory. Help me, Lord, as look at the scriptures today, be able to touch on some things that would be useful, helpful, and encouraging. And also we could point people that are searching to Christ, encourage believers in their walk with you. We just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless, we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and of course, we're here every Friday afternoon at 1:30, and then Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight, and certainly invite you to call in there, in a program there, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can find out more about us at our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find links to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, as well as more information about me, about the program, all at livewithpastoral.com. You can find links to some of our social media platforms or sites that we have. We have a number of different ones there that we have, not just Facebook, still on Facebook, though they like to fact check or first check is more accurate from time to time, but we've also got USA.life and MeWe and Getter and Minds and a number of different ones that are on there, and so I encourage you to check that out, especially if you're looking for some alternates to Facebook. But you can also find past programs that we have, as well as some articles and different things that I've written over the years, all at livewithpastoral.com. Well, I wanted to also mention too, coming up on Saturday is the 20th anniversary of the September 11, 2001 terror attacks on the United States. And it's a day that, we should take time to remember. And for those of us who can remember what was going on that day and probably no doubt remember where we are, what was happening when we found out what was going on. And this is one of those days, like, of course, you know, many people talk about when I was growing up, the assassination of President Kennedy, remembering when and where they were when that occurred. And then in an earlier time when the news of Pearl Harbor broke, and people remember and talk about when and where they were when that took place. And so for those of us in our generation that can remember September 11, 2001, and this was an attack. It wasn't by any means the first attack by Islamic terrorists against the United States. And unfortunately, I wish I could say otherwise, but it's not going to be the last attack. And so do pray for the day tomorrow. Take some time to remember what took place. Maybe watch some of the commemorations, or there's some going to be in different places. I'm sure if you go online, you can find some of them in your area. But if nothing else, just take time to remember, and maybe share a few thoughts with those around you. All right. Well, we're not going to spend the whole time on September 11, 2001 terror attacks, except a reminder that we need to pray for our country. And it's unfortunate, 20 years later, the people responsible for that are still very much in power back in Afghanistan again, the Taliban that we took out, as well as Al-Qaeda. Of course, Al-Qaeda trained and were sheltered in Afghanistan by the Taliban. Well, they're all back together again, along with ISIS and some other terror groups. And they have much more military equipment at their disposal now, thanks to the stupidity of the current occupant of the Oval Office in the White House. So enough of that right now. I want to go over to Genesis chapter 11, because this is something I was thinking about, and was reading through this, and I just felt impressed to talk about this a little bit today. And this is Genesis chapter 11, and in starting in verse 1, we begin to read about the Tower of Babel. And believe it or not, there's confusion about it. Should it be pronounced Babel or Babel? And actually, Babel is probably the more correct term. Babel, I was actually doing some reading on this earlier, and is a version that kind of developed with the English language, and so Great Britain and America are the two most common places where they say Babel instead of Babel. But Babel is probably more accurate, so I'll probably say either one as we're talking here, but and actually either one is considered acceptable. But in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand anyone or understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Now, this story here is very interesting, and I remember taking a class in sociology many, many years ago, and in the class, they made a statement. They said that when you look at myths and fables and legends and stories like that, the more common and the more widespread it is, the more likely that it's based on some true events. And then if you can also substantiate things with some other things like from archaeology or geology or something that can help further substantiate it, points more to the truth and the accuracy of something. And this is kind of interesting. When we look at the Tower of Babel, we have a number of myths and legends about people moving out and spreading out from a central point on the earth, and all this goes back to Noah's Ark and the flood and everything as well, that's a few chapters earlier here in Genesis. But for some reason, when we get to the Tower of Babel and Noah's Ark and all of that, the fact that these stories are found in so many myths and legends, the sociologists and archaeologists and such ignore the idea of the widespread thing indicating there's some basis of truth. But I was reading through this, and we found several, there's several things going on here. And this event, some believe that it took place around 2200 BC, somewhere in that time frame, and this would be after the flood. And this is why we have, in the beginning, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, the chapter previous to this, Genesis chapter 10, is called the Table of Nations, and it lists the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then their children, their sons that were born. And as you go through this, there's a list of about 70 people that that basically became different people groups. And it's kind of interesting that in the world today, we have somewhere near 7,000 languages or so that we know of. And it's believed by some linguists that these languages derive from about 70 different basic languages. which is kind of interesting. And furthermore, we also know we have a number of different people scattered all over the world looking different from each other, even though the Bible clearly says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, talking about God made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And of one blood means that we're all one race. You know, we talk about races today, but there really is only one race. It's the human race. We're all of one blood, but we have different superficial characteristics, skin color, hair color, eye color, a variety of characteristics that we have in addition to just skin, eye, and hair color. There's other characteristics, the shape of the ear, shape of the nose, shape of the mouth, general body shape, long and lean versus short and stocky, and all kinds of things like that. And so we understand that we have these variations, but we're all one people. We're all one race, the human race. And that's because we're all descended from Adam and Eve. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, I heard somebody try to say that that means there's no life on other planets because they'd have to be descended from Eve. But what about bacteria? Well, bacteria aren't descended from Eve. What about fish in this ocean? They're not descended from Eve. Well, clearly that means all living peoples. And so everybody that got off the ark in Genesis chapter 9, when the floodwaters abated and they got off the ark, they understood the story of creation. And they all spoke the same language, and that's because on the ark was one large family. It was Noah, his wife, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. And these eight people was all that was left of humanity. Now, all eight of them were the descendants of Eve. And they were all on the ark together. They all knew the stories, and they all saw what was happening. But they all also heard the same command that God had given to Noah and his sons when they got off the ark. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth," meaning they were to spread throughout the world and replenish it. The world, the population of the world was had been, of course, destroyed, all except for the eight people that were on the flood. And so they were to do this, but unfortunately, they decided amongst themselves within a few generations that they weren't going to spread throughout the world. In fact, they were concerned that they might. And so in Genesis chapter 11, they decided to make a tower, and they said in, let's see here, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now, this is contrary to what God wanted them to do. And we're going to look at this tower and what they mean by reaching into heaven here in just a moment. But they were acting by this time in rebellion against God. Now, part of the reason comes in because we have a descendant of Ham that is listed in Genesis chapter 10. And we see verse 6, "And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan." And as we drop down into verse 8, it says, "And Cush," remember Cush was the son of Ham, "Cush begat Nimrod." So Nimrod is the grandson of Ham and great-grandson of Noah. It says, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and," let's see here, "Calneth in the land of Shinar." And so we have this man who's described as a mighty hunter before the Lord. And It's believed that what he's referring to there is that he was a hunter of souls, meaning he captured men, and he became one of the first rulers, and he even was attributed godlike status, according to legend, by some. And so they built this city, Babel or Babel, and in the city, they wanted to make a tower. And rather than use stone, remember when God had the temple built later on, they were not to use bricks. They were not to use mortar. They were to use stone. The stone had to be quarried off from the temple mount and brought there, because the stone was something that was provided by God, not brick that was made by man. And in this particular case, it says here in Genesis 11, verse 3, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And so this is basically a brick structure that they're building. They made their own bricks. And this is awful reminiscent of man trying to reach heaven by the works of his own hands. Remember, that didn't go so well when Cain tried to do that. It didn't go so well for Adam and Eve when they tried to cover up the effect of their sin with their efforts sowing the fig leaves together. And it certainly doesn't go very well for us today. If you're trying to reach heaven by the works of your own hands, by your own effort, you're not going to be successful. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, by grace you say through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're not going to work your way to heaven. You're not going to find some way other than through Christ. But they had a desire. They said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, they're not talking about building a spaceport like if you're familiar with some of the Zachariah Sitchin writings and some others. That's not what they were building. They were building a ziggurat, the tower, sort of a terrace tower, a pyramid-style tower that was the idea was to reach up. Into the clouds, essentially. And we think about that. Remember in the Old Testament, you saw people condemned for building the high places, groves on the high places where they would worship and sacrifice to false gods. And part of the idea here is that you see this picture in the Old Testament in particular, but it's also in the New Testament, about the entrance to heaven not being somewhere beyond the starry sky, but it's actually somewhere in the cloud layer, in the clouds. And we see this idea of the windows of heaven being opened, and we see the idea of people being caught up into heaven. Enoch, of course, walked with God. It's believed he was caught up to be with the Lord. And then, of course, Elijah, the fiery chariot, caught him up into the clouds. And then Jesus, when he ascended from the Mount of Olives after his resurrection, he ascended up into the clouds. He didn't go further and further up until he dwindled out of sight. He was received into the clouds, and he was taken away. And then when the rapture of the believers, the catching away of the believers comes, we'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And we see this this same idea when I believe it was Ezekiel was on the banks of the river in Babylon, where he is in the captivity, and he saw the heavens opened, and he looked and he saw God in his throne room. And so we see these pictures. We even see it in non-Christian settings. The gods of the Greeks were on Mount Olympus, up in the clouds. And then we even see it in such secular things, which seem totally unrelated. But when you think about it, remember the story Jack and the Beanstalk, his magic beans, he grew the giant beanstalk. He climbed up into the clouds where he went into a new world, a new area that was different. Time passed differently than on earth. Now, the Bible says in heaven, that, and I'm not saying he went to heaven, but you can see the analogy, because in heaven, Bible says a day with the Lord is as a thousand years as a day. Time is different in heaven. And so they were caught up, or they had this desire to reach up into the clouds where they believed that they could reach the entrance to heaven. Well, God came down, saw what was going on, and the Bible says, behold, the people is one here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And what happened then, and of course Jewish history teaches, or Jewish tradition teaches, that they were scattered into 70 groups, and that's based on the 70 people groups or family groups that are identified in Genesis chapter 10. And as I said earlier, people studying the history and the origin of languages, you know, they've puzzled, why do we have some nearly 7,000 languages, and why do they appear to come from some 70 basic language groups? Well, here it is in the Bible, because God scattered them, and it wasn't that everybody spoke a different language, but basic people groups spoke a language which only that people group could understand. And so they began to move because they couldn't understand one another. Work on the building ceased. God prevented them from doing what they were doing. And then they began to scatter across the earth. And they traveled into different areas. They settled in different areas to where they were able to pick up life and begin to do things, and they established their own culture, their own tradition. Well, of course, because different people groups traveled, you know, anybody that that you look at families, a lot of times you'll see a picture of family members, you say, well, they're certainly their mother's child or their father's child, or, oh, they look like their uncle, or they look like their grandparents or their cousin. You recognize family characteristics. And this helps to explain how we get the different types of people that we mistakenly call races today. Because on average, as the people began to go into different areas, some of the genes that they had for certain characteristics began to disappear from their population, because perhaps the person traveling south didn't carry the gene, or the people traveling south didn't carry the genes for blue eyes. People traveling north did, but they didn't carry the genes for brown eyes. And so you can see where eye color began to change. Also, another sorting would have taken place, because though the Ice Age would have been going on contemporary to this time, still, as people traveled further from the tropic and semi-tropical regions, as they got further away from the equator, sunlight being less, people with lighter skin would have been favored, because you produce vitamin D, which is very helpful in fighting infections and for health and everything. People with darker skin further from the equator would have had greater problems with disease. So lighter skin people would have gravitated further from the equatorial zones, and darker skin people closer to the equatorial zones. And they also would have had an advantage, of course, dealing with the sun because of the higher concentration of melanin in the skin. But other things took place, and you say, well, wait a minute, some of the peoples who live in the Arctic have darker skin. What about that? Well, they get a large quantity of vitamin D from their diet, which makes it possible. And if you remember, when you go to the store, you buy your milk, it's got what? Vitamin D added to it oftentimes, because it helps people, especially in the wintertime when the darker your skin is, the harder it is to produce vitamin D. But as people scattered around the world, various languages developed. Google sometime the Indo-European languages, and you'll find that it almost follows the descendants of Japheth as they spread up into North Central Asia, down around the Indian subcontinent, and over into Europe. And you can see their languages traveling into those areas, the Celtic languages, the Latin or Romance languages, and the other languages that developed in over time, the Germanic languages and such. And so God did not create at that time all the languages that we see, but they began developing out of apparently about 70 basic language groups. They reflect the 70 basic people groups that's scattered from Babel at the time that God confused the language. Well, thanks for listening. Join us again next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.